All right, Mr. Cabrera, you're appearing before the Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the one allegation on your warrant. So could you please, for the record, could you please state your full name and your ABC number for us?
My name is Dr. Danny Cabrera. My ABC number is 1314247.
Thank you. So I'd like to introduce you to the board members. If you look to your right, so down that end, is the Honorable Lee Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Next to me here in the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today.
Thank you. Good morning to you all.
Good morning. Now, I see you were notified about this hearing on February 5th, and you signed a form. Do you remember signing that form that day? It's the form that said the hearing would be today.
Oh, yes, by our counselor, yes.
Yes. And on that form was listed your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Now, we don't have an attorney here, and I don't see one with you. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
I have not hired an attorney yet, and I'm here to represent myself.
Okay, that's fine. Most people do that, so not a problem. Let's see, what else do I need to do? I'm a little out of order here. I did not introduce to you Mr. Turner, who is, you'll see him in just a moment. There he is. Mr. Turner is representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Cabrera and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Cabrera?
Okay. I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay, and Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. So Mr. Cabrera, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then in phase two, determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. Okay, sir? So you ready for phase one?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here is the allegation. It's that you were in violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at TLC at 749 West 2nd Street in Mesa, on or about August 31st, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. Cabrera, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am, that is true.
That's true? Okay, sir.
Yes.
I'm going to make a motion then based on Mr. Cabrera's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal records or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Dr. Wright, agreed Mr. Neal and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Cabrera, we'll move on to phase two of your hearing, which and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So just hold on the line. We'll be right back. We'll ask you some questions and talk with you in just a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Cabrera was released from ADC custody on 8/22/2018 and arrested on 1/22/2019 by Mesa Police Department. No new charges were noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 1/22/2019 with an adjusted CSED of 8/13/2019 with 144 abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1996, commitment A, count one, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year. 1996, commitment B, count one, theft, 3 years, 6 months. 1997, armed robbery, 7 years, 6 months. 2006, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. 2012, commitment E, count four, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. 2012, commitment E, count five, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4. Mental health score of one, substance abuse score of two. STG information, he is a suspected member of the STG New Mexico Mafia of Arizona. Prior to terms of supervision, 2005 TIS release, absconded for 16 days, arrested, found in violation, continued on supervision, absconded 44 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2013 TIS release, absconded for 0 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Those 0 days is due to the fact that the warrant was approved after he was arrested. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, violence, rioting, weapons, and promoting contraband noted. Other arrests? There were other arrests, however, the charges were either not filed or dismissed. He has a GD score of G6, V8.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So back to you, Mr. Cabrera. We have a brief written summary of what happened while you were on supervision. It looks like you were approved to live at TLC, but then suddenly, that was in August, then suddenly a couple weeks later, your parole officer got a discharge letter from TLC saying that you had been discharged and you just left. So where'd you go? What happened?
I really have no excuses for my actions. TLC was probably one of the best places that I could have been at. But I do want to share a story with you and the members of the board. And I'm not sharing this story for convenience or anything like that, but just to give you guys an understanding of what I've been through in life. I have seen very much of life and I have experienced much loss in my life. Okay? And last year, from February 13th, my brother found himself on my mom's front yard. My uncle passed away a month later. My uncle's son hung himself at the gravesite while visiting my uncle, my brother. And then a month after that, the young lady that was helped turn my life around, she got into a car accident in Mesa. I'm from the reservation suburb in the community, I have seen a lot out there. Even before that, I'm from Phoenix originally, and my mom was a prostitute out of that area, and I was put outside the government on many occasions just for my mom, to make some money. No excuses, because I have grown up, and we are subject to make our own choices in life. There were not anything against anybody, but I have been through some stuff, and it affects me. Last year when I was released, I was going through the motions of the loss of these people close to me. And when I got out, like I said, TLC was a great place. They took care of me. They offered a meal on the table, which was a very good, it's a feeling of security. But I gave up. I was, invited to go out that night by some of the guys that worked there and they lived to another, and I felt weak to avoid things out there in this world. And I got on the phone, started crying. Friends from the Reds, we all started crying, and what they led to another. I made a bad choice and chose to not go back, which was a big mistake.
Were that night, were you using drugs? Were you drinking? What happened?
I was involved. I don't do drugs anymore. I haven't had a good UA in like, I don't know how many years.
That's good.
Alcohol involved. Excuse me?
That's good to know that you don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do that for a while. There's a lot of things that was mentioned that seem to go against me. But what about the good things that I have done? I have done, with the type of life that I have seen and been through, nobody ever looks at the very months that I have been doing.
Well, Mr. Cabrera, were you working? Did you have a job?
Recently?
Yeah.
But yes, I was doing side jobs because, I have to do something else. I'm going to be living on the streets.
Sure.
I lived homeless, but there was times where I had to walk up to my mom's house, and she would see me the way I was, and, well, that's not something you probably, so she would give me a little money, or find me a job, a side job.
So, Mr. Cabrera, were you homeless after TLC? You left TLC and you went homeless? But you sometimes went to your mom's and she would let you take a shower and wash your clothes and stuff, or?
No, I never did that, but I would call her up and, you know, she would maybe, you know, buy me a little bit of money or something, because I didn't want my mom to see me the way I was, you know?
Okay.
But eventually, I ended up at my dad's spot. And I had a phone, a friend of mine was there for a phone call, and that's where I was staying at my dad's spot. And then I realized that I was being tracked by the police department in Mesa. As soon as I figured that out, they came to arrest me. So
what, you said they were tracking you. What were you doing when they arrested you? They just knocked on your door, or they saw you somewhere?
Okay, this is kind of funny, because there's apps out there on the phone that we all know about. There's GPS tracking apps, there's how to clone somebody else's phone, so where all their information can come to your phone. It's a real epidemic out there. Hence, let me say the Uber driver. There's apps out there, you know what I mean, that are just outrageously, it's crazy. It's all good to me, but I was out there experiencing it. Okay, well, I'm being tracked on my phone, so, and I started noticing a lot of funny things about it. So I look at the apps, now if I'm looking, let's see who's tracking you, you can download this app. So I download this app, as soon as I download it, my phone starts. It starts going off. They're being tracked. So I go to that app and turn it on, and it shows a GPS like satellite of the area I'm at. And there's people, well, there's a green dot running across the street, and it's getting closer to my house, or my place of residence at that moment. And I start calling, you know, my girlfriend, like, hey, you know what, something's going on, are you behind this? And she's like, no, I don't have to be doing anything like that to keep track of me. Well, the next day, I was arrested. I asked the officer, the head detective, were you guys tracking me? And he said, yes, but I will not give you no details about that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the type of thing that's going on out there these days with the apps.
Okay, Mr. Cabrera, I do have another question for you, and that is, you absconded for 144 days. Why did you not contact your parole officer? You have two previous terms of community supervision where you absconded, yet, and you know it was important to stay in touch, so why did you not contact your parole officer, sir?
Miss, I was afraid to come back. There's a lot of changes in this prison system. There's the IHP going on, there's changes. I feel like 20 years in the prison system, and I've seen so much. I'm just scared to be in there. Like, I'm so terrified. There's political issues left and right that we have to deal with in here, that you know, lawmakers and administration are changing, and they feel like it's changing for the better, but in actuality, it's changing for the worse. I was just afraid to come back.
Okay.
I was afraid to come back.
So why didn't you complete the CHC program, sir? Why didn't you complete that? The CHC?
What's the CHC?
It was the cap of treatment for substance abuse. Why didn't you not complete that?
Where was that?
Well, it says that in August 22nd, 2018, you were referred to CHC, which is CAP, for treatment for substance abuse. You did complete the intake, but you didn't complete the program.
Like I said, I went on the run. I went on the run, I scouted, and having, you know, going to do certain things like that would test me that in the country again all over it.
Okay, but Mr. Cabrera.
Let me remind you of this. I have completed a terrorist program for 3 months. That's all I'm supposed to look. You know,
but we just were not informed of it, so.
Yeah, there's other situations that are happening with community.
All right, Mr. Cabrera, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions? Mr. Cabrera, we're coming up on the end of your hearing. Did you have something to add, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, now, for the record, on 9/26/2018, it's documented that absconder reduction program letters were mailed to the following addresses. 10737 East Camelback Road, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85256. 2 P.O. Box 5465, Mesa, Arizona, 85211. And the third address, 3421 West Glass Lane, Phoenix, Arizona, 85041. The first address in Scottsdale is what's documented as his mother's address.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trump. So, Mr. Cabrera, when somebody absconds for a period of time, the department will send out a letter and say, come on in, we want to talk to you, and they want to work with you and not violate you and send you back to prison. So, did you get any of those letters? They were mailed to those three addresses?
No, ma'am. I never got any of those types of letters.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate, because if you had, you could have brought that letter in and talked to your parole officer instead of being violated.
Well, that would be an entry opportunity.
Okay, so while we're coming up to the end of your hearing, I do want to give you that chance, make a final statement, but without repeating something. You've told us a lot. So is there anything else you'd like the board to consider?
I would just like the board to consider, you know, the good things that I have done in life, the changes that I have made within myself. I put GD classes in here and outside, three months worth of classes. And what's always held against me is that one time I do that, that's what lingers for me. I've been through heartache throughout my life since pretty much a little boy. My mom was a prostitute manager. I have seen so much in my life, and everything that's bad is always highlighted. Like, look at the good things that I have done. You know, I have completed the Terminals program. That was 3 months long. 2 days a week, I have completed that. 2 years ago, when I was released, I completed the halfway house. I have completed that and was able to go out and be a productive citizen of society. Just recently, I applied for Uber. And then after going to job to be an Uber driver, I'm still a good person, you know? Who gets offered to drive for Uber, you know? Like, they offered me a job because I still have a good driver's license. I've just been locked up for so many years. You know, I'm asking for a chance because I have a drug problem, you know, and I can admit that. You know, I just want to rehabilitation. You know, there's so many times where you guys ask us in here, what do you guys feel like you're rehabilitated? Well, how can you ask us that question when there's no rehabilitation, you know, programs in here? You know, all I'm asking for is for some rehabilitation, like put me in a halfway rehabilitation center where I can't live anywhere, where I can sit there and be there for 3 months while I'm reading my Bible, while I'm trying to be a good thing, while I'm trying to change my life. Teach me and train what I'm there, you know, because confidence is what people like me need. Like, we've been locked away, put on the shelf for so many years. Like, we don't have no confidence in us anymore, so we give up. Like, teach us how to get trained and send us to work so that we can have that money in our pockets. And even if we can't live by ourselves in an apartment, we can give it to our kids, and they can start loving us again. Or even start loving us because my kids don't even know me. Like, we need some type of rehabilitation, that's what we need, and we need some type of confidence. But we can't get that confidence before continuously put back into this system, you know?
Okay, Mr. Cabrera.
Thank you.
The board is going to go into discussion, sir. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we just ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Cabrera was out and working and was assigned to a halfway house, was assigned to treatment. However, he did not complete treatment, and in his statement he's saying he wants to live in a halfway house and a program, and he wants drug treatment. and yet he did not complete the treatment that was offered to him. I see he has some good qualities. He's been offered a job. He's been through a lot in his life, but based on the fact that he's absconded again, this is the third time he has absconded supervision. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision, but I've listened to any input from fellow board members. Any thoughts?
Three.
And based on then information in warrant 2018W2698, our discussion with Mr. Cabrera and information from Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Cabrera was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 144 days during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activities. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second, and Mr. Neal agreed, Dr. Wright and Mr. Quinones. Okay, now Mr. Cabrera, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. We're showing you with a release date of August 13th, 2019. So at that point, you'll be out. You won't have a parole officer to worry about. You'll be completely free to pursue your interests, get that job, and we wish you the best, sir. And thank you so much for participating in your hearing today. If you could lay the phone down and let the CO3 know that you're done with your hearing, sir. Thank you.